Please open your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're studying through the book of John, the gospel. And so we're just taking the next verses every week and moving right along. I think this is message number 36 in John. So it takes a while to go through the book. What a book it is. A lot of wonderful biblical truth about the Lord Jesus. In chapters 1 through 8, we learn 22 names and titles the Lord gave them of himself while he was talking to his disciples and to the Pharisees and scribes that were around him. In chapters 7 and 8, Jesus went down to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles, and there was a lot of verbal skirmishes between the Jews. When I say the Jews, when John says the Jews, generally he's talking about the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. And so he has some skirmishes with them. In chapter 9, we learn that Jesus left the temple, and while he was on the streets, he passed by a man that was born blind, and he healed him, told him to go wash some clay out of his eyes down at the pool, and he came seeing. It was a wonderful thing. The scribes and the Pharisees enter into the picture. About then, the man born blind very flawlessly presents his testimony of what happened exactly, how he was healed, to the Jews and to whoever would listen. He presented an indisputable argument to support that Jesus was more than the average man. He was at least a man of God, and he had not even seen Jesus with his physical eyes when he was defending the Lord Jesus, because he was blind when he met Jesus and he came back to his neighborhood rather than to find the Lord Jesus. And so it was a wonderful testimony. Wonderful for us, because we ought to be exactly that, telling people what Jesus did for us. At the conclusion of our message last week, we finished up with John chapter 9, verses 40 and 41. Let's read those again. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? So the Pharisees are asking Jesus, Are you saying we're blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. So he was telling them that because they, as Pharisees, thought that they could clearly see all spiritual things, and yet they could not obviously see things, they were actually blind, spiritually, he's talking about. They were spiritually blind. If they could humble themselves just a little, if they could be taught, if they would just be teachable, the Lord could tell them the things that they need to know, and they might catch a glimpse of the light that was shining, the spiritual light that was shining, the truth that was being presented, and even be forgiven. It's amazing how patient the Lord is in his ministry and his argumentation with the Pharisees, and how much he can teach them, the disciples, and us even today as we read of what he said. In chapter 10, Jesus proceeds to introduce to them, the Pharisees, A new metaphor, something different than he's talked about thus far. he opens with some common observations. These are truths. They're pertaining to shepherds and sheep. Now, we're not talking spiritual, though there's a spiritual intent. It's like a parable, but I'm talking about shepherds and sheep. And literal, shepherds and sheep. He opens with some truths about that. Now, we want to remember these Jews, the scribes and Pharisees, they would claim to be the shepherds of God's people Israel, right? And so he wants to talk to them in that capacity about that particular claim. Jesus obviously wants them to understand that they're not the shepherds of Israel. They're not. And so he wanted them to understand this, and to do so, he would give this little parable here. And I'll just sort of number the things. The first point, a shepherd is the one who uses the door of the sheepfold. That's what he's going to tell them here in the first verse. A shepherd is the one who uses the door to the sheepfold. Let him tell it. Verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief or a robber." So he begins with, "Verily, verily." That's like my saying, "Now listen to this. There's something coming, something I want, and I don't want you to miss this truth. Verily, verily, truly, truly," he says. The imagery here has to do with shepherds using the sheepfold, as I said. A sheepfold is an enclosure. When we were over in Israel outside of Bethlehem, there are a lot of fields out there, and there were sheepfolds. In this particular area, they were stacks of rocks to make like a rock wall, just stacks of rocks, though. And there was an opening to the stack of rocks, and that's referred to here as the door. It didn't have hinges on it. It was just where the rocks stop, and there's an opening to get through there, and that's a sheepfold. It could be a fence of some sort made out of wood. It could be anything, a sheepfold. It would have this door, and at night, that door would be guarded, maybe by one of the shepherds or a local person there. And the shepherds would use the door opening to access the sheepfold, to get in and out of the sheepfold. So what's it for? What's it for? At night, the shepherd would go to the sheepfold and he would put his sheep in there. He would deposit his sheep. Another shepherd may come and deposit other sheep into the sheepfold. There may be three or four flocks of sheep. They all mingle together, cousins, you know, and they're enjoying their fellowship. In the next day, the shepherd would come in the morning and he would call his sheep and they would come out of the sheepfold. So it was protection at night, the sheepfold. And then in the daytime, he would lead them on to pastures. A thief and a robber, it says. A thief and a robber, last part of verse 1, might try to access the sheepfold in a way other than the door. He might try to climb over the wall, but not through the door. He won't go through the door because he would be immediately recognized as not the shepherd. You don't have any right to be here. We're not giving you access to the sheep that we're here guarding. And so they would be considered right up front thieves. They have no other reason to be going in there except to steal something or to kill something. And so they would be denied access. They knew, the thieves and the robbers knew, that if they got caught trying to do what they were about to do, that they would likely be punished. And the shepherds would not take too kindly to that. Verse 2. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep," it says. He that entereth by the door. The way that the shepherd approaches the sheep in the sheepfold is an evidence that he is the shepherd, because he's the one who could go to the door and enter in to see the sheep. Now, the shepherd is the one, if you're watching, the shepherd is the one who uses the door of the sheepfold to access the sheep. Keep that in mind. That's important. All of these, he's building a case here, one little point at a time. The second point is the shepherd is known to the porter, the person who's standing guard. The shepherd is known to this individual, and it says that his voice is known even to the sheep, and they follow him. So that's point number two. The shepherd is known to the porter. His voice is known even to the sheep. The sheep follow him. Look at verse 3. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Again, the porter is the guard at the door. He knows the shepherd, and he gives him access to the sheep because he's the shepherd. This is why the thief and the robber now won't try to get to the sheep through the door. They'll try to go over the wall somehow. The shepherd calls his sheep by name. Imagine that. 40 sheep. He could tell you, "That's so-and-so. This is so." He could name the 40. And he knows them by sight. He knows which sheep he's talking to or talking about. He knows them individually, and they, the sheep, know his voice, according to verse 3. They know their shepherd's voice. So if several herds are in the same fold one night, each shepherd would go to the door, one at a time, of course, and they would call their sheep by name. I don't know what to call a sheep, or I would try to sort of illustrate. But he would call his sheep by name, and they would come, and he would kind of push them out from the fold, and he would wait until all of his sheep are there, and he would know immediately when the last one had come, and he would step out in front of them, and he would lead his sheep away from the fold out into the pastures. So he would call the sheep. Look at verse 4. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So day after day and night after night, they're following their shepherd to the fold, and then in the morning back out to pastures. It says in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. So the sheep and the shepherd have this relationship. If it's not their shepherd, they will not follow him, but will flee from him, verse 5, and they know not the voice of strangers. A stranger would be the thief or the robber. And if they were to try to call the sheep would go the other direction. They would not come. They would recognize their name, perhaps, and they would not go because it was not their shepherd. And they would not follow. You got a dog. Two boys fell in love with the same dog. One of them's had him for years, knows him, named him. The other one didn't know the name, so he has a different name for the dog. And both of them claim, this is my dog. And those in charge say, well, let's do something here. We put the boys apart. You've heard of this. You put the dog in the middle, get him to sit. Now sit there. And okay, and you say to the boys, now both of you call him. Both of you call him. Let's see who he goes to. Who do you think he'll go to? Probably his master. Probably the master. He would go to the master because he knows the voice. They have a relationship already. And so that's how it would happen when the shepherd would call his sheep. They know his voice and they go. They're accustomed to following him. The thief or the robber doesn't have that relationship, and the sheep don't know him and don't know his voice, and so he would not go. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Covered 5 verses. I didn't tell you much. You said, I could have told you that already. But the Lord Jesus is telling this to religious leaders. Why? Because they claim to be shepherds of Israel. Okay? So who is the real shepherd? How can we know? He's the one that uses the door to the sheepfold. That would be the shepherd. The shepherd uses the door, and the shepherd is known by the porter. He knows his sheep by name. That's the shepherd. And the sheep know his voice. And the sheep follow him. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So there are evidences that this man is the shepherd. And so this parable, Jesus spoke to them in verse 6. He spoke to them, but they understood not what things which they were which he spake unto them. So Jesus told them what I just told you, and they said, what's he doing that for? What's he mean? Why is he saying these things? They didn't get it. So in spite of their boasting about being able to see the clear understanding of anything that's intended to be a spiritual truth, even if it's by parables, you know, they're smart and they've got it figured out. In spite of all that, they did not know what he was talking about. They didn't understand the point he was trying to make. I want to tell you why. It's because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, this was God speaking and God's Spirit was at work, and they didn't get it because they're natural men. For they are foolishness. The things of God are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so we see something. Now, we're spiritual minded, right? Yeah, we're spiritual minded. Do you know what he's trying to say here? A true shepherd does not have to sneak up on the sheep in the fold. He can approach his sheep. He knows them by name. His sheep know his voice and they follow him. A thief and a robber, they have to approach cunningly and by deceit. He does not know the names of the sheep, and the sheep do not know his voice, and they will not follow him. They will not follow him. So his points. His point is, the Pharisees are like thieves and robbers. They have no right. They have no authority to access the children of God, the people of Israel, as it were, at that point. They will only do harm. They can only do harm to the children of Israel. The sheep don't know them, and they're not going to follow them because they're not the true shepherds. I'm talking about the Israelites who were saved, who were followers of God. They're not going to follow these leaders. Evidenced by the fact that they rule over the sheep. They rule over the sheep, they drive the sheep, and the sheep respond to them in fear. We've seen that here in John, back in chapter 7 and verse 13. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Everybody was afraid of these leaders. In John chapter 9 and verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. And the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And John chapter 9 and verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. That's what everybody was afraid of, that they would be cast out. They would be ostracized by their people, thrown out of the synagogue. These so-called leaders of Israel were not shepherds at all. They were not God's appointed individuals to lead the children of God there in Israel. But the Pharisees didn't understand this that he has told them in these first five verses. Nevertheless, Jesus proceeds to the very masterfully shining of a little bit more spiritual truth. But he's going to hang on to this same metaphor. But he's going to add a new dimension to this metaphor. It could mean grace to these scribes and Pharisees. If they'll just hear what he has to say and try to understand, they could probably be forgiven. It could also mean judgment to them. It all depends on how they receive what Jesus is about to say. They're going to either start to understand or they're going to harden their hearts. If they start to understand, then they may continue to move in that direction. If they harden their hearts, they're likely to die in their sins. What has he told them? If they understood what he said, and they don't, he told them, you're not the shepherds of Israel. Okay, that's all. Now look at the next verses. Jesus is going to tell them that he is the door to the sheepfold. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. So again, we have a verily, verily, this second round of truth. He's expanding the same metaphor, but he says, now here's a new truth. I want you to listen very carefully. Don't miss this. Any shepherd of the Lord's sheep, pastors, teachers, leaders, whatever they are, who would access the sheep, the children of God, they would have to do it through the door, right? The ones who would access through the door are the true shepherds. The ones who know their sheep by name. The one who the sheep know their voice. They would obviously access the sheep through the door. So if anybody wants to be a leader of God's people, he would have to access the people of God through the door. What's the door? Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. Look at verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So everyone who had claimed to have authority over the access to God's people, they could determine who can approach the people of God and who cannot. Were the Pharisees trying to do that? Oh, absolutely. They were telling Jesus, leave our people alone. So Jesus is talking to these would-be shepherds, these leaders. He's telling them, you're not shepherds. You're thieves. You're robbers. And I'm the door. If anybody wants access to the sheep, he's going to have to come through me. Do you see this truth? Pretty simple when we kind of read it and put it all together. You're going to have to access the sheep. You're going to have to access them through me. So these were not true shepherds. They were not appointed of God to govern the true shepherds, to give them access to the sheep or withhold access to the sheep. And they're now trying to keep Jesus away from the children of God. They're trying to keep him away from the sheep. And Jesus said, you can't do that. You don't have control of that. That's mine. I'm the door. So what do we say? Jesus said everybody that claimed to have authority before him, well, they were like thieves and robbers. What about Moses? What about the prophets and so many others? What about these others, all the way down to the very scribes and Pharisees that stood before him? Jesus told them that there was nobody before him who was like the door, that had control over the access of the preachers and teachers and leaders. It all needed to be through him, Messiah. When Moses led the people, it was with a mind to the fulfilled promises made to Abraham that God would someday send the Messiah. And so Moses came as a representative of the door to minister to the people of God. And then there was Joshua, and then there were all the prophets, and they recount the promises made to Israel, how that God would send a Messiah and that he would be our salvation. You see, they all made their approach through the door, but not these scribes and Pharisees, and not a whole lot of others who claimed that they were shepherds or they controlled the access to the people of Israel. We're the shepherds, we're in charge here. And the Lord Jesus is telling them, no, you're not. He says in verse 9 again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, I'm going to twist your mind a little bit. We've quoted verse 9 a whole lot, and we always apply it to the sheep. The sheep can go in and out and find pasture. Let me suggest to you, that's not what sheep do. That's what shepherds do. Shepherds go in and out that door, and the sheep follow their shepherd. The sheep are not responsible for going out and finding pasture on their own. They're not responsible for coming back. I am the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man, any shepherd, enter in, he shall be saved. Think safe. He can be safe. If a thief or a robber comes, they're not safe. It's a dangerous thing to try to steal sheep. You would suffer the penalty of that if you're caught. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be safe or saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. That's what shepherds do. That's not what sheep do. So he's talking about shepherds in verse 9, not sheep. Notice that he doesn't say, again, he is the door of the sheep. He just says, I'm the door. And the context here is still talking about shepherds. Jesus is not talking about sheep right here. He's talking about shepherds and who is authentic, Who is a true shepherd? Who has access to the flock? He tells us what a true shepherd looks like. Well, he's one that goes toward the sheep through the door. He knows the sheep by name. The sheep hear his voice, and they know his voice, and they will follow him. That's the true shepherd, and the true shepherd will go through the door. And he'll pick up his sheep in the morning, he'll take them out to the pasture, he'll bring them back at night, and he'll put them back in the fold. That's the true shepherd, and that's how the true shepherd works. The context here is still talking about shepherds. Notice also, he transitions from looking backwards to those who've come before him, now to looking ahead into the future to the shepherds who are going to follow him in his cross work. That would include me, maybe you, if you're in charge, if you're a teacher or someone who's given responsibility, a calling of the Lord to teach the Word of God or to preach the Word of God. Then we are coming after the Lord Jesus and after what he's done on the cross. And so again, what's the point? Everyone who would be called of God to lead or feed God's children, the flock of God, would have to do so through Jesus Christ. That's his point. These men rejected Jesus Christ outright. These men were already involved in a plot to put the Lord Jesus to death. They had no access to the sheep, no authorized access to the sheep except through him. They should be following him, not him following them. Shepherds must access the sheep in Jesus' name and by Jesus' authority. So, I'm a pastor. I stand before you by the authority of Jesus Christ. He called me to this. I believe that with my whole heart. The Lord called me to this. And I would be totally foolish not to approach you through Jesus. He's the door. He is the way that God is going to minister to you and to me. And so I want to take you to him for protection through Jesus Christ. I want to teach you truth through Jesus Christ and by the authority of Jesus Christ. If they approach the sheep through him, they'll be able to bring the sheep to protection at night. They'll be able to take them out to pasture in the day. There is the task, all of that is the task of the shepherd, the pastor, the teacher, the leader. So his message here to the shepherd is, use the door. Use the door. Then all will be well. Use the door. He's talking to the Jews, telling them how wrong they are and how they don't understand anything. They think they understand everything and they understand nothing. What's the difference between Jesus, who next week we'll see calls himself also the Good Shepherd? What's the difference between Jesus and these Pharisees? He tells us in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." The thieves keep coming. Their motive is to steal the sheep. If they can't steal them, they'll kill them. They'll kill them to keep them from bleating. Jesus is totally different than that. He's not like the thieves and the robbers, the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus, in his relation to the sheep, says that he came... Look at verse 10. "The thief cometh not to but steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." A true shepherd has a love for the sheep, like the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. His motive is love. He loves the sheep and he wants to bless them. He wants them to have an abundant life, a life of abundance. And that's what Jesus wanted for the people of Israel who would receive him by grace through faith. So, in conclusion, let me just review. Didn't say a whole lot this morning, but an important message and important for us to understand. How do you know a shepherd when you see one? The shepherd is the one who uses the door to the sheepfold. All else are thieves and robbers. The shepherd is known to the porter. All else are thieves and robbers. The shepherd is the one who knows the sheep by name. All else are thieves and robbers. The shepherd is one whose voice is known to the sheep. All else are thieves and robbers. The shepherd is the one that the sheep follow. All else are thieves and robbers. The sheep won't follow them. That's a wonderful lesson for us when we think about it in terms of the shepherds, leaders of God's people. Jesus is the door in this metaphor. Everyone before Jesus who has ever assumed to have authority over the people of God was a thief and a liar. The Pharisees, for example. Everyone after Christ who would be called of God to lead or feed God's children, the flock of God, would have to do so through Jesus Christ. That's Christian pastors and teachers and leaders. The motive of the thieves, the motive is to steal, to kill. They want to make merchandise of us, Paul says. The false shepherds, the false teachers. What's Jesus' motive? He says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants to bless the sheep. And he wants for them to have an abundant, a filled with joy, filled with his grace and mercy, a life, an abundant life. He says all of this to the shepherds. This is a message to the shepherds. Even verse 9, it's about the shepherds. Consider that. I hope the Lord will bless it to your hearts and we can thank God for his way. His way is perfect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for the blessing of it. I pray that you would minister to the hearts of your people. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who teaches us what a true shepherd is. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who provides access to the people of God, to those who are called of God, of you, to lead your people. And everything we do, one for another, is through the merit and the grace and mercy and power of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for revealing these truths to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.